Bob is in these last days. I'll be in 2 Timothy, just a couple verses there. Pastor's been over there in 2 Timothy, chapter 1. I'm going to be in chapter 1. He's been teaching in 1 Timothy, and he'll probably get all the way through 2 Timothy. There's some good things there for the church. But in 2 Timothy chapter 1, I want to start this morning with verse 1 and read it about 4 or 5, maybe you ought to read down through verse 8. That's not too far. And make a few comments this morning. And I want to talk, number one, my points are, number one, personal fears or fearing people. And I've entitled the lesson this morning, Fear Not. And you say, well, is that an issue? Well, we'll dive in just a moment. So the first point is going to be personal fear or fearing people. Number two, it's going to be material fears or fearing things. And number three, spiritual fears, fearing God. So as we get into the lesson this morning, in verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelleth first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Father, this morning we pray again and ask your blessing on the word of God, as we've already heard it more than one time in the beginning of our service today. And we praise thee that we have it to read from, to teach from, and later to preach from. Suit a blessing to each one that has come. Strengthen our faith. Help us to only fear thee and nothing else. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. Amen. And obviously I'm down about verse 7 with the thought for the hour, but it comes in the Pauline epistle. Paul's in prison himself. And if anybody had any need to be afraid of anything, possibly he, but he was not afraid. And he's writing words of encouragement here to Timothy, the young preacher, and admonishing him. But verse 7 says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. Look, when you got saved, you got the Holy Ghost of God. And that's been taught backwards and forwards. And brother, the Holy Spirit of God is not a spirit of fear, for it is God. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the very breath of God that dwells on the inside of us. So that spirit, and then when he says this, he's making a monumental doctrinal spiritual statement for the encouragement of anyone that would care. So in verse 7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Now, I don't know if I'll have time to deal with all three of those, especially that sound mind. Some of you are questioning that already with me. So, but let's deal with the first part. Amen. And he says, us the spirit of fear, not giving us the spirit of fear, but of power. Amen. And that's a thing in Acts where he said he's given you power to be witnesses unto all the world. And we've read it backwards and forward and looked at it. And you've probably have it marked in your Bible. So when it comes to missions, what holds us up? And let's just start here. What holds us up from going to a mission field? Now, when I say that, boy, that's a broad term. That could just be outside the door of this church. That could be to a foreign field. That's the extreme. That could be being a Christian neighbor to your neighbor, saying, "Hey, brother, it's Easter Sunday. Good morning. God bless you." Of course, don't wake them up out of a dead sleep. You might have a fight on your hands. But the mission field, and I think sometimes it's fear. And he says, "Fear not." The word, the term "fear not" is one of the most used phrases in the whole Bible. It's found about 200 times in the King James Bible. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, I didn't read that far. Paul stated, "I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." I don't think he was afraid to preach the gospel. I don't think there was any inkling of fear of preaching, of taking a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ who saved him, even to the point of physical harm, because we know the story of the Apostle Paul and all that he went through. He just didn't have that kind of fear in him. And he talks about it here. So here we find the foundation for faith and courage. And that is a personal knowledge of God. Brother, if you don't know the Lord in a free pardon of sin, you don't know him as your Savior, why? You're probably afraid of your own shadow, we used to say. You know, afraid to go out in the dark. I've been with people that's afraid of their own shadow. I was in the military with people. We go out on patrols, you know, loaded up, full field pack, out past the concertina wire, out there making OPs, and it's dark. And you could run across anything, anybody at any time to do you bodily harm. And I went with guys that were afraid of their own shadow. And I said, "Hey," they'd ask me, "why ain't you afraid?" I said, "Well, number one, if I get killed, I'm going to heaven." Hey. "Oh, what about your family? What about, well, don't you have a child?" I said, "Yeah, Todd was a baby. My wife was home. I was deployed. I was overseas." I said, "You know what? Most important thing to me is the satisfaction of my soul of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and a free pardon of sin. I'm a Christian." And I had guys line up. "I want to go with you. I want to go with you. We going out? I'm going with you, man." I said, "Yeah, okay. All right." But people deal with fear. We'll talk about that in a moment. I didn't have that in the message, but anyway. So here we too can say that we, if you're saved, know, emphasis on the word know, God. We that are saved. Take for a moment and go to Philippians 3. That I think Jeremiah had been teaching over in these areas too, Pastor Jeremiah. But in Philippians chapter 3, you'll probably have this marked in your Bible, verse 10. And he says there in verse 10, you might go right on down through, watch, his verse 10, 3:10. "That I may know him." Now, that's just a little more than, "Oh, I think I know the Lord, yeah. Ain't that big sugar daddy up in the sky? Is that who you're talking about?" It ain't that kind of know. It ain't that kind of knowledge. "Oh, everybody knows that, you know, the big man upstairs." That's condescending. That's not right. He says, "That I may know him." He was talking about his Lord and Savior. And the power of his, we're talking about this morning, resurrection. And the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the, here we go, resurrection of the dead. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm going to be part of that one of these days. And then verse 12. "Not as though I had already attained, neither or either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." You think he wasn't confident in the Lord? I believe he was. And it's a pattern for us to have our confidence in the Lord. Say, how can I do that? By knowing more about the Savior. You'll never learn too much about the Savior. The more you learn about the Lord Jesus Christ and who he is and what he is and what he's done, the better Christian you'll become. And you'll change. Your life will change. So God is what's the big word we use? Omnipresent. God is omniscient. God is omnipresent. And did I say that? Omnipotent. I meant that big word. Omnipotent. Omniscience. I wrote them down, but I can't remember hardly anything. Omnipresent and has all power, all knowledge, and all love. And loves us with a love we can't understand. Think about that a minute. He knows us better than we know ourselves. You may think you know who you are, even as a Christian, but God knows you better. Why do you think He left us a book with such powerful principles and powerful doctrine and powerful scriptures? We read from Isaiah 53 today while the singer sang. That's power. That's about our resurrected Lord. But somehow we still fear. The secret is being free from fear. The secret here is faith in God. You say, boy, that's simple. That's the principle God sets forth. How strong is your faith this morning? Well, I'm pretty strong, brother. Good. Good. But I find in my ministry of long time now, there are Christians been saved a long time, still afraid and still fear and blame it on, and you think, man, okay, what is this? But here, that very secret is the simple faith we build in the Word. Anything I commit to God, I can cease worrying about. Why you still worry? We're human, right? We're human beings and we're just prone to worry about everything. Man, we'll worry about this, worry about that, and worry about this over here and that over there. But you know what? If you've committed it to God, the indication I get from the scriptures is you can put that thing to rest and you say, nope, I done committed it to God. Get thee behind me, Satan, because boy, he's the one that wants you to worry. So anything I refuse to commit to God, anything you refuse to commit to God, you or I will worry about it. You ever notice that? Man, somebody said, and they'll come, hey, preacher, will you pray for me? Man, I'm struggling with this in my life or that. And I said, well, have you committed to the Lord? Oh, what do you mean? Have you just given it to God and said, hey, I'm walking away from it. It's the Lord's. I belong to Him. No, I haven't done that. Well, my goodness, why are you asking me to pray if you're not going to go do what the Bible says? Commit it to the Lord and you don't even have to worry about it. And if you still worry about it, somebody said this one time, get over it. Must be that old pastor back there. Anything I refuse to commit to God, I must worry about it because inevitably it will turn out wrong. You ever notice you might have a problem? You worry about that thing, worry about that thing, and you won't talk to God about it because you might have to change something. And brother, when it finally comes to fruition, it's always wrong. Man, I wish God had prayed about that. The secret is faith. I'm gonna give you a word here. It's a big word, but boy, it's a simple one. Faith and commitment. Commitment. And I know you understand there's plenty of wives and husbands in here today. You're committed to each other. Through thick and thin. Troubles and struggles and problems. And you're committed. In spite of the constant exhortation from the scriptures to fear not, we live in a world of fear. And as I get to my points, let me say this. If you have money, you fear losing money. thank God I'm broke. Amen. Well, let me cover that. If you don't have any money, you fear you'll never get any money. You can worry about anything. And people do. Man, I'm just broke. I got to get a better job. I don't know if that's the answer or not. I can't work anymore. All right, man, I'm never going to have a dime. Try raising 7 kids. That's them 7 kids, that's eyeballs, feet, clothes, food. Man, when they get a little bigger, they don't eat one chicken. They eat 2 chickens. People that are married, they fear, oh, am I going to stay married? Oh, what if he leaves me? Oh, what if she finds somebody else? He was looking at her. She was looking at him. And we run around in the world today fearing, once we're married, we think, oh, is it going to stay that way? Or am I going to go through a divorce? What's going to happen? And we live in fear. And you know I'm speaking the truth here. The whole world is afraid of something. If you're healthy, you fear getting sick. Yeah. Man, I don't know why I feel so good. Man, I think I could run a marathon. Not me now. Don't get that confused with me. I ain't running no marathon. They're afraid, man, I'm so healthy. I'm going to get sick. What if I get sick and die? And they'll sit around for months and years and worry about getting sick. And the next thing you know, they're sick. And then you got that crowd that's sick all the time. They're sick all the time. And they worry about, am I ever going to get better? I'm making my point. We fear about everything. Now, I'm not going to belabor this. You get the idea. The world lives in fear. So, number one, personal fears. Fearing people. In general terms. Fear is one of the reasons people do not become involved in God's plan of worldwide evangelism. What will people say? If I surrender to preach, what will people think of me? They'll think I'm an idiot. They'll think I'm a moron. I know my favorite words. What are you afraid of? Oh, yeah. What if my mother finds out I'm preaching on the street? Yeah, I live through that. Oh, when I go to the next family reunion, they know that I surrendered to preach. Man, I'm going to look like an idiot. I'm the only idiot there. You were anyway, so. But fear of people. The Bible says the fear of a person, the fear of it bringeth a snare. And brother, you talk about things making people stumble today. I'm talking good Christian people is afraid of what somebody else thinks about them. Oh, I don't want to testify. Somebody will make fun of what I say. They said in fear. You shouldn't have that kind of fear. You should not be afraid. They say, well, I'm around these people over here. I got to dress a certain way or be a certain way. Hey, grow up, man. If they're that foolish, hello, let them be fools. Pastor Tom was worried about if I had a big enough mouth to read that recitation. I said, there ain't a gabbard alive without a big mouth, so you're in business. Still, I still had to help me with the microphone. I couldn't lift it. I guess, I don't know. No. Brain freeze. You know, you just get this old, you don't remember everything. Amen. But if people are asked to give, when it gets to missions, evangelism, and giving, and stuff like this, the first thing is say, oh, I don't know what that'll do to my budget, you know, if I give a little something. And we've been talking about giving and missions and things, and I want to delve into how to give to missions, but I'm sure of this lesson right here. Fear is the one thing that keeps people from doing anything from testifying to giving to mission. Amen. Have you ever heard this? I can't afford to tithe. And I say, how'd you get on that? I'm just talking about fears. Man, if I tithe, I can't have coffee this week. Yeah, okay. But here, how'd I get on this? Not to mention extra giving. Oh, I give 10% of what's left over. You know, I made $500 this week and I spent $450, so there's $50 left, so I get $5. Boy, you big spender, you. Huh? You say, why'd you do that? Well, I'm afraid. Oh, okay. You're either afraid or stingy. I don't know. We're on fear today, so we'll stay there. So here, don't even talk about extra giving anywhere. And you say, what is extra giving? Well, your tithe is one thing. It keeps the lights on. It keeps the insurance paid. It keeps the pastor paid. It keeps those kind of things in the church house paid. And then there's the building fund. Remember we had the big chart on the wall. Somebody put that. I think Eddie might have put the chart up on the wall years ago. We had that big old chart and people started putting money in that thing. And that was extra money. See, where'd it come from? The hearts of good people. That's why. And that's what we're talking about. So there's extra giving like building funds. And there's another thing, you don't hear too much about it, but there's a thing called faith promises, how a lot of churches support missionaries. But a lot of churches won't get involved in it because they think it's something that it's not. I would like to explain that sometime to you. I taught a whole missions conference on faith promise one time over in Pennsylvania. And the pastor told me years later, that's the best lesson we ever had on anything like that. He said, most evangelists come in, they won't touch money. I said, well, that's what you asked me to do. Because he was afraid to do it. Yeah, I can talk about him now. He's dead and in heaven. Boy, he's shouting her down. He's saying, go, Brother Phil, go. And when you get to talking about, I remember back when Pastor Tom was pastoring years ago, we taught a little lesson on finances and money, and I titled the whole series of lessons on, you know, when you talk about money, people get funny. Boy, don't do any math. Don't put any math up on the board and figure it all out. What the church should be doing, you'll say, oh my goodness, we ain't giving anything. No, that's about where most churches are. We got our little social club and we don't support mission. But here, let me say in personal fears, and in that, secondly, material fears. We fear the job. We fear the income. We fear giving any extras that might keep me from doing this or this or this or whatever it is. And we live on tight budgets and sometimes we live without a budget. But we always have the money to do the things we want to do. And there's no time for missions. But if we go back to where we read in Timothy, when Paul is talking about that, in 2 Timothy 1, about a verse 7, for God had not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I think the sound-minded Christian that loves God will not be afraid to give to missions. And we've been on missions, and so we're still on missions. And one of the problems with missions in every church is giving to missions. When the church goes through a little struggle, the first thing we do is drop the missionaries. Now, I will report unto you, this church never did that. There was, I don't know how many pastors we had, Pastor Tom, myself. There were some other people on getting money, cleaning or whatever. And I remember when the time come, we all took a 25% cut. Was it 20 or 25, Brother Tom? I don't know. Right across the board. But we didn't drop any missionaries. Say, why? Because they're out there stranded someplace. And they depend on that 50 bucks a month you send. Or 100 or 75 or something. And although we might be feeling the crunch here, the last folks to go out of the responsibility we have for the Great Commission is we'll keep them on board. Now, I understand if they come off the field. I understand if they get in false doctrine. I got it. If I understand if they're not doing what they said they were doing or doing something, plenty of people like that, go ahead and drop them. But put that same money on somebody else that is doing the job. Amen. You say, why? God blesses a cheerful giver. He loves a cheerful giver. And when he loves you, he blesses you. People, oh, well, I just thought that verse said, God loveth a cheerful giver. Well, figure it out. Can you? I said earlier in the lesson, you can't understand the love of God. Brother, when you get tapped into the love of God, brother, you'll be a giver. You will be able to. Whatever the pastor says, yeah, sign me up. I want to try that a while. I want to help somebody. And we said in the last Sunday school lesson, our biggest problem is getting to know the missionary. I listened to a documentary or a podcast or something on missions by Brother Ron Ralph. And Brother Ron Ralph said, look, in the 30 years I've been pastor of this church, My people fell in love with the missionaries. Isn't that good? Remember the lesson we had a few weeks ago, and we asked, does anybody read the prayer letter? Does anybody know all the missionaries that we support? And that sort of thing. We're trying to get to know the missionary, try to understand who they are, what they're doing, why they're where they are. I get a mission report just about weekly from two different missionaries. But with media the way it is and the internet the way it is, I'm in touch with the building program down there in San Luis and the wall that's being built. They get ready to pour the slab now to put the church building on, and that's down in Mexico. I'm involved with the printing and passing out scriptures and taking scriptures in. I hear from that guy every week. We pray for each other, brother swear, and brother in that thing, he sends me, you've been prayed for, and I text him back, hey, great, Merry Christmas. You know, it's Easter, but I'm right, Merry Christmas. It's a preacher thing, you know. You say, why? He's a missionary. I've always loved missionaries. You can ask my whole family. I've always loved missionaries. I've gone to the field. I've went down and built buildings. I've went down and rehabbed garages. I've went down and poured concrete. I've sifted sand to make cement. You say, what are you doing? Just love missionaries. When you fall in love with missions and missionaries, you'll help too. Well, Brother Phil, I can't walk away from my job and go down there and go on vacation like you did. I wasn't on vacation. But even if you can't, you'll find a way to do something. And I don't want to cover any of those areas today. I want to talk about fear. Personal fear is what people think about you. Don't worry what people think about you. Material fears. Oh, I don't know if I can get the next SUV I want. Look, how's the old one running? Drive it a while. Oh, you don't know. I got to have that 95-inch colored TV. No, you don't. Kids made fun of my TV, like 20 by 20. Dad, how do you see that? I don't. I just want to hear it. I have to really see it. We knew something was wrong with you. Yeah. And it was a gift to me. Since I've upgraded, though, I'm probably up to 55-inch now. Wow. When it went on sale, though. And then there's the spiritual fears, fearing God. I want to talk just a little about this because we don't want to leave this thing out. You'll find that the biggest, most folks struggle with the doctrine of, well, I don't know if you can call it a doctrine. I want to say the doctrine of fear. And I guess you could because the Bible does say fear the Lord. And the very thing we don't do is fear God. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. What a verse. If we get our heart right, we love missions, we support missions, we'll help missions, we won't care what anybody says. We'll scrape up an extra $25, $50 a month to help out with a mission program someplace. Next thing you know, we'll have missionaries. We got a missionary coming pretty soon. Don't we have a missionary pastor coming? Brother Chris. And I've known Brother Chris a long time. Some families back here with family in the mission field. Love missions. It's not unusual for me to step out of the boundaries of what I make on Happy Pappy. That's Social Security for you people that ain't retired yet. Which ain't a whole lot. And then the church helps me out some here. We do fine. We're great. No problems. But I'm just going to share this with you because you're my brother and you're my sister. And you're my friend. It's not unusual for me. I just did taxes, so I kind of look back. I gave all that. What did I do that for? I just sent a missionary $500 just a couple weeks ago. Say, why did you do that? I thought he needed it. I don't know. God? All the Lord's money anyway. I didn't make no big deal about it. You say, what is that? That's extra giving. So, well, you didn't pay your tithe. No, I paid my ask Brother Matt. I giveify that thing every Sunday morning. Sitting on the front porch drinking a cup of coffee, waiting for the squirrels to wake up. Yeah. Click. Got it figured out. I'm praying right now about maybe supporting a missionary full time. Not full time. $50 a month. That's full time for a guy that's retired. Another one. Now, I've got daughters that are missionaries. I send them money all the time. Jordan said, hey, I'm raising money for Buck. Send him $500. Say, did you tell the church? Why? I answer to God. And I don't care what people think about me. I'm sharing this with you so you understand. We've got some other good givers in this church. They give you the shirt off their back. And I will say this about Pastor Tom. I know he's not pastoring now, but he's the old pastor. He's sitting here. He was a giver. Joyce has said, amen, you give away everything. And I don't know what's wrong with it. Say why? His heart was right, in tune with God. Now, I'm not telling you Pastor Tom's a perfect man, but he sure wasn't afraid of what anybody thought about him because he gave him a little something. Amen. But we're afraid. And we fear. So all fears have some basis. I'll give you that. But they must not paralyze us. We must not allow them to dominate our thinking. Even if you have a dreaded disease of some kind, yeah, you're going to worry about it. I get it. I understand that. But if you're a child of God and a Christian, when you lay your head down at night, you ought to be able to say, but God, whatever happens, I'm yours and I'm headed home. Amen. Should not affect your spirituality. We must obey God. Our only obligation to God's command is obedience. Our only problem is learning how to leave the results in the hands of our loving Heavenly Father. And I'm reminded of how the Lord tried to encourage those apostles in John 14, down about verse 1 and 2. He says, let not your heart be troubled. And that means don't be afraid of a bunch of stuff. If it's troubling you, you need to learn how to give that to the Lord. You need to grow up just a little bit. You'll be better for it. You'll feel better. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. And they were Jewish, and you know, they knew the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And when Jesus come up, came on the scene, the only begotten of the Son of God, the very Son of God, he said, believe also on me. And aren't we in kind of the same boat? We get saved and we've trusted God to save our souls from a devil's hell. And we can clap our hands and shout hallelujah because we're going to heaven. But when it comes to the other little things in our lives, we're afraid of our own shadow. I wish this morning you'd be like those guys on patrol back in the 60s when you'd jump up and say, hey, Pastor believes it. Brother Phil believes it. Brother Tom believes it. Brother Matt believes it. Can I go with you? I want to go with you. Whatever you're doing, I'm doing. Let's go. Let's do it. Didn't Paul say, be you a follower of me as I am a follower of Christ? What do you think leadership's about? Leadership's about setting the example, sharing a little with you, bringing you along in love and understanding, gentleness, compassion, saying, hey, it's going to be all right. Let's do what we can for the glory of God. So let me give you some encouraging words here. To fear God is far greater than the mere fear of anything else. The man Job, 28:28, how can you forget that verse? And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And depart from evil is understanding. You see, to fear the Lord is the only fear you need to be concerned with. Don't worry about man. The fear of man bringeth a snare. Don't worry about material things, a house, and silver, and gold. It's going to burn. Worry about God. The psalmist said in Psalms 19, in verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. You know what that says? You can't go wrong fearing God. And lastly, the psalmist said this too in 34:11, "Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord." Now, I'm done. Did you see that? I will teach you. Say, what are you doing this morning, Brother Phil? I'm trying to teach you how to fear the awesome resurrected Savior that we love and serve. Oh, I fear Him, Brother Phil, I fear Him. Then let's get on board. Let's pick up the great responsibility that God has laid upon our shoulders as a church and help those that go out into all the world and preach the gospel. I'm trying to teach you to fear the Lord, the only thing that you ever have to fear. And when I say that, I don't think it's an earthquaking thing. I'll quit. Paul was on board that ship and a storm blew up and he was standing there and the storm was tempestuous and probably going to cause a great catastrophic shipwreck. And that night when the wind blew, and the storm howled, rain beat down, the Lord stood next to him, said, "Fear not." And God took care of him and gave him everybody on board that ship. It's all about winning somebody else to Christ. All spun out of fearing the Lord Jesus Christ, who can say, "Peace, be still." All right, I'm finished. Let's pray. Father, thank you for a chance to teach your word. Thank you for your word today. We ask, God, that find it a lodging place that would be beneficial and glorify thee. And help us, Lord, to be about the Master's great business and be about helping others get to the mission field, helping others do what you've called us and left us here to do. In Jesus' name I pray and ask it. Amen. Good morning. God bless you.